It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hand.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast where we are awarding ourselves a 15-point penalty for financial impropriety of not staying true to our financial resolutions about household budgets at the beginning of the year. This is Tariq joining you along with Karan.
Hey guys.
And we are here to talk about the goings on in the world of football. Karan, we have been away for quite a long while. And fortunately or unfortunately, there has been a lot happening at the time we decided to take a bit of a sabbatical.
Unfortunately, yes, we basically sat through an entire World Cup and annual Serie A.
Some minor developments in Serie A as we record some relatively minor developments in the Premier League. And of course, the entire season, we have seen Liverpool unravel. We have seen Arsenal in the ascendancy. All things that we'll come back to on this podcast at some point or the other as the podcast takes a new turn in terms of bringing you the same sensible lens, but taking it a little... little back in time to give you a broader perspective and a through line as to what's going on in the world of football right now. And if you're wondering why Karan's here today, Karan, you are our resident Serie A expert. And like you said at the top of the podcast, there has been some elite and classical and absolute, to borrow those words from Jose Mourinho, heritage level shithousery going on. In the Serie A, which began with the controversy of course, Juventus being docked a lot of points for what is a financial controversy. But even without that, what has been the most significant development is that the team that we find sitting on top of the league right now with a 13-point advantage with 17 games to play, going towards a potential Scudetto for the first time since 1990. And that team would be Napoli. So we are here to talk about Napoli, Karan, and in context of Serie A. And just to set things in context for everybody else who's listening in, take us through Napoli's journey from the time in 1987 when Maradona arrived and they won their first Scudetto, which is famously captured in that Maradona documentary, where there are people, there are fans going to graveyards and writing messages for those who are dead, saying that, you know, kind of wish you were alive to see this. For a club that has endured a three-decade plus wait, how do we explain this? How are Napoli pulling this off?
Well, I mean, probably you would know a lot about that, being a Liverpool fan, the three-decade wait. But yeah, I think before we really start off from the footballing aspect, right, we should also kind of look at the dynamics of the city itself. Right? Now, Napoli is a city where the psyche of the people there has always been us against the rest of Italy. It's always been that way. And there's always been a divide between, you know, the northern clubs versus, you know, the southern clubs, and Napoli being one of the bigger names in the south of Italy. You know, they're always technically, you know, you could say the north were kind of looking down upon them, and Napoli always felt that, you know, it was us versus the rest of Italy. So they always had that mentality, very Game of Thrones-ish. So by the sounds of it, I think you mentioned it when a few years back when we did that episode on the 1990 Italian 90 World Cup, when the semi-finals in Napoli, we actually discussed that probably anywhere else in Italy, if that game was played, Italy could have probably, you know, beaten Argentina then. So this kind of adds to a bit of the dynamic of Napoli, where the rest of Italy always holds a kind of love-hate relationship, mostly with that city. So at that point of time, so back in the 80s, when a player like Maradona came into the picture for Napoli, it was definitely a big deal for them. I mean, pretty much at the time, the best player in the world playing for their club was the big deal. And it's not just the fact that, you know, he arrived there, but what he achieved with the club really kind of, you know, cemented his legacy, not just with the club, but with the city. Because, I mean, we all know about, you know, the Church of Maradona in Argentina, blah, 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 all of that. But as big as Maradona is in Argentina, he is really big.
If not potentially bigger, and this Napoli team is playing. Their home ground is the Diego Maradona Stadium.
Yeah, in fact, yeah, it was renamed recently after his passing. So there you go. So you know, Maradona is Napoli in many ways when it comes to the city. So and what Maradona actually did was he kind of thrived on this us versus them kind of mentality. I mean, it's very obvious where if you look at Maradona's routine, he is a Boca Juniors legend as well, right? And we all know the rivalry between Boca and River Plate, where you know River Plate is for the elite class and Boca was for the working class. So he that kind of us versus them mentality was ingrained in somebody like the Maradona, and he thrived in that environment. And after that, the success has flowed. I mean, they won. I think they won a double in '87. They won the UEFA Cup. In the late 80s, back then, the UEFA Cup actually meant something.
89, I think.
They won another Serie A a couple of years later. And this was a time when the Serie A was the biggest league in the world. And it was the toughest league in the world. So it's quite an achievement for them to basically break the dominance of the Milan clubs or Juventus or even Sampdoria at that point of time was a very, very good side. So, yeah. So, it really was a big deal. So, and then, since then, after, you know, Maradona moved on, you know, the club has been through a lot. Relegation, liquidation, and basically now it's a completely different entity after De Laurentiis kind of took over. I think probably in the early 2000s, if I'm not mistaken. And since then, they've slowly but surely been kind of building up, with regards to their squad, with regards to their overall running of the club. I mean, all said and done, yes, he is a very, very eccentric character, Lortis, but the results are there to see. I mean, the entire 9-year period when Juventus were kind of dominating Serie A, Napoli were only team to kind of challenge them at some point of time or the other. The only problem was, especially towards the latter part of the dominance, Napoli actually came close a couple of times, but the only problem was they weren't able to sustain a challenge for the entire 8 to 9 month period. They would have a period of around 6-7 months where they would really kind of, you know, play well, and in fact, many times even outperform Juventus during that period, but they would just kind of fall off on the wayside when it came to, you know, the last 2 months or the last 3 months of the season. So I think now what's happening is that, you know, all the controversy aside, you've got a manager like Spalletti who has basically managed pretty much some of the biggest clubs in
Serie A. I mean, he has basically spent his entire playing and management career in Italy.
Pretty much. And he's actually a very, very underrated manager, because he might not have the trophy cabinets of, you know, an Allegri or even a Lippi or any great Serie A managers from yesteryear or the present times. What he achieved cannot kind of be quantified in trophies, because he's one of those managers who would basically go to a club and get that club to punch above their waist. So he would probably take a bottom half club to mid-table. He would probably take a mid-table club up to a Europa League spot or a Europa League level club to a Champions League. He might not have won the trophies to kind of prove his worth, but sometimes football is more than just trophies, right? You have to look at things on a relative basis.
Right, and he's like you said, he's spent time with clubs such as Sampdoria and even Venezia before sort of having a couple of stints at Roma in the mid 2000s, and I think his most recent one as well.
I think he also managed Zenit, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the only thing that he's done outside of Italy is manage Zenit, but then kind of had a homecoming back to Roma, and then via Inter and down to Napoli now, where he has quite an incredible record at Napoli, if you think of it. think he has a win percentage north of about 75%.
Sam the club, because you look at some of the previous managers that Napoli had, they've done well under somebody like they've done well under all their previous managers. But the problem was that they always had this kind of eccentricness about them that, you know, maybe it just kind of stems from the management level, but he is somebody who is, you can just make out by his demeanor that, you know, he is quite level-headed, and I think that helps in many ways, because I think that is going to be the key going forward, because as you get closer and closer to the finish line, that's when, you could, things could be up and level, which has basically been their Achilles heel in the past. So,
Right.
you like that old saying, the fear of winning.
When the finish line is in sight, right? But so looking at and as at SoccerSense, always one of the things we do is look at every title race as a marathon, not a sprint. We've discussed this so many times. There is obviously a long way to go in this one, but one of the key aspects of why Napoli is where they are right now is they've been defensively almost impeccable. Just 15 goals conceded, and game they have been expected goals against them has been one or lower, which is rather incredible in terms of a defensive performance. And they also have the most number of goals scored. So, you know, you have sort of the perfect storm brewing for them to, if they can keep this going, mathematically speaking, it looks like an inevitability.
That's the thing, right? I mean, they've done well, and it's kind of also helped that other potential contenders have basically been taking points off each other, or have been, donating points to the prosecutors and the FICC. So, but having said that, they do deserve a lot of credit, because the thing with Napoli is, for all their shortcomings in previous seasons, right, the one that has been consistent is their scouting has actually been very, very, very impressive. In fact, a lot of top talent across some of the bigger leagues in Europe right now are players who came from, I mean, I wouldn't say just Napoli, this has been the case across a lot of Serie A clubs, barring probably the really, really big names. So I think, especially considering the current financial situation of football in Italy in general, there is, we can be rest assured that for a foreseeable future, Serie A clubs are not going to be able to compete financially with clubs from England or Spain or Germany or France or anything of the sort. So they need to kind of, the only alternative that they have is, they can't compete with them financially for big money signing. So the only option that they have is look for these value purchases from smaller markets, smaller leagues, and try to kind of, make these players, names who they can then.
Or like you said, right, perform above their level and definitely punch above their weight category.
Absolutely. I think another thing that we forget about Napoli was during the time of Maurizio Sarri, right, the what are the 4 or 5 years that he was there, they did again challenge for the league a couple of times. But I think the problem over there was, besides the fact that, they couldn't have a sustained push for the league, we forget that they actually played some very, very, very attractive football. I mean, it was beautiful to watch. Watch them, play the passing game, the fast-paced passing game. But like they say, while it was beautiful to watch, at the back end, they were actually constantly chipping in goals. So that is what I think Spalletti has kind of corrected in a big way. And
And that's the difference we are seeing, right? Because in terms of the defensive record, like we talked about it, a little bit of classic Catenaccio going on there. If they've only conceded 15 in 21, and if they keep it up, we see it as a mathematical inevitability. But Karan, we know that Serie A does not really do rationality and mathematics and rational laws of nature as such.
They don't. I mean, and like the line that you give, right, similar to Star Wars, this universe is at its best when
in a state of chaos. that can basically be said of Star Wars or of Syria.
So just to set the context for listeners, this is something that I'd said about the Star Wars universe, that it's always at its best when it is in chaos. The best stories have come out of there. So Syria, similar narrative. This season has been no different, but the port of calm amidst this chaos has been this Napoli side, and like you rightly mentioned, Spalletti and the way he has kind of managed this squad, which is a storyline that will definitely be following this entire season on Soccer Sense, and talk about it a little bit more and try to view.
Just to add to one of the points, to say manage the squad and also manage the owner, because that's a big
that's the additional responsibility you get, particularly in Serie A, where you have to come and deal with owners of all sorts. I mean, you should know that well, Karan, from the Juventus exploits, and who can forget whatever has been happening with the Milan teams. Never a lack of drama for sure. We saw that in the Milan games themselves, in the recent past as well. There is a certain Jose Mourinho with a Roma team that's sitting at third place as well. So I think this would not be our last episode this season on the Serie A.
Like they say, Serie A is like that one girlfriend that you never seem to get over. I always want to go back.
So we shall bring you more about the Serie A and more from the world of football. But this week it was all about Napoli and the Serie A. It would be quite poetic if the same year that Argentina broke a very long dry spell when it comes to World Cups is also the year that or the season that Napoli get to break the long spell of not having won a Scudetto, because their last one was also with Maradona, same as Argentina's.
Both happening a couple of years after Maradona's passing. So I think that's just a lot of romanticism in this entire I just hope it kind of comes true, because, you know, the one thing that Soccer Sense love is a good underdog story. Leicester.
Right, we've always been. In fact, the Leicester season we had covered very, very closely, and we talked quite a lot about that. Speaking of underdogs, we might soon be able to speak about Arsenal in one of the episodes. Let's see if we can pencil that in. But this is about all the time we have for this week's episode. You can follow us on Twitter at SenseSoccer. And you can subscribe to the podcast on any of the platforms that you listen to your pods on, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as Google Podcasts. Just look for us under Soccer Sense and leave us a rating or recommend to your friends. If you like us, that helps the podcast spread. We are zeroing in on a decade of this podcast, Karan. It's been quite the journey. And hopefully we get to bring you new stories and exciting and sensible stuff as we move on with the full panel. Right, with that, holding on to the hand of God, we are signing off from this special Serie A episode, and we'll see you next week with a new one.